Lord, let's bow our hearts in prayer. O God, our Father who art in heaven, we come before thee in this morning. It is by thy mercy and by thy grace, O Lord, that we have assembled together. Here is a body of believers. We've come together with our families, our children, with our friends. O Lord, with thy word before us and thy presence here amongst us. And we thank thee for this opportunity. And we pray, O Lord, that as we open thy word of life, that our hearts would also open to receive the gift of life, of salvation, that each one of us, O Lord, would be conformed into that perfect image of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. So bless our gathering this morning and in this day as we exalt thy name, O Lord, not only through our words, O Lord, but through our hearts, that we would love thee with all our mind, our heart, and our soul. Be thou with us, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's meditation, for our strengthening in faith, I desire to read from the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter number 12. Romans, chapter number 12. Ljubazni želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću nama svima za nauku iz Rimljanima, poslanica 12. glava. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. May God bless our dear ones, as we have assembled together with the word here before us. It's very humbling to open the Word of God and to have God speak to us. We who are born in sin, separated from Him, not wanting Him, the one who gives us the very breath that we take, the one who sustains us every day. We reject Him, and yet He speaks to us. And He calls us, "Come to Me." His patience and His love for us is something that the natural man cannot even ever understand. What He has done for us is something that we, in giving us, in offering us His salvation, is something that every one of us ought to, at all times, exalt His name. In this chapter, we've read a portion of Scripture that I believe, as we read it line by line, we don't need, and I think about that oftentimes, and it's really just with all Scriptures that we read, it's so simple, and yet it's so hard to be understood, and really, not hard, it's impossible to be understood by a mind that is not transformed. And so Paul is beseeching us. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, how by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, one that is holy and acceptable unto God." A living sacrifice. We know that in the Old Testament, the sacrifices that were offered were dead sacrifices. They were dead. You were offered and they're dead. That's not like us. We are a living sacrifice. In other words, when we sacrifice ourselves, God gives us life. And then with the transformation that takes place as we give ourselves, He gives, empowers us and gives us, as He says, even as He says, the lilies of the field, look at them. He goes, Solomon, all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Why? Because he was arrayed from the outside. What God gives us in this transformation, in this new birth, in this new life in Him, He gives us the beauty that comes from within to be expressed in this, what we have read. This is how a transformed life is expressed. We're not saved because we will do these things. Not at all. We're saved because we've been transformed and been born again and have taken on and been conformed into the perfect image of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then through that, He empowers us with His Spirit, the Spirit that He tells us, that He promised us, that He will give us. Who will He give it to? Those who obey Him. Those who keep His commandments. So what is keeping you, my dear brothers, sisters, and friends, and me, what is keeping us from fulfilling this as we read this verse by verse? This isn't given to us for us to read, yeah, okay, oh, I got verse number 6, I got verse number 8, oh, I got number 9. No. Let's read this and say, is this a transformed life that I now live, which is my reasonable service? This is what is expected of me in my new life in Christ. So how can we fulfill this? We can read it, and we can say, I've fallen short. Let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. We know that in an actor, when he goes on a stage, he takes on a personality who he is not. He takes on a personality that is not himself. He says, don't let your love be. Don't take on a personality of someone that you're not as you express your love. Don't do that. Let that come from the transformation that is from within. Because, dear ones, and Paul talks about that in that great chapter on love. That's what he means. Don't let your love be with dissimulation. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be an actor as you give to, you know, where it does tell us here to distribute to the necessity of the saints and to be given to hospitality, we read here. Don't do it out of a sense of duty. Don't do it as a pretending of, oh, and you know what? We can even hear about some things that take place, and our hearts are filled with emotion and compassion at that moment, and we're ready to open our bank account and give. And that doesn't mean we're doing it from a heart that is transformed at all. You know, I can read the Word of God, and I can hear that I'm not supposed to be a drunkard. I can read that I'm not supposed to smoke, and I can put down my cigarettes and never pick them up again, and it doesn't mean that I'm saved. It tells us what saves us here. It is our faith. Our faith that is able to transform us as we look upon God, our Savior. And so how do we obtain this faith? You can't do it. It's given to us. It tells us here, according as God had dealt to him, to every man, the measure of faith. So we say, Well, God didn't give me the faith that he gave you, so I can't do this. Lies. That's a lie. What it means is we didn't look upon him. Because when we look upon him, we will be humbled. Can a man humble himself? Can you humble yourself? How am I going to say, okay, it tells us that God rejects the proud. He rejects you and me if we are proud. Rejects us. We know what rejection is. We felt rejection. God rejects the proud. Okay, so now I'm going to say, okay, now I'm going to be humble. How? How are you going to be humble? How? I don't know. I can't make myself humble. I can do it through dissimulation. I can do it through a hypocrisy. I can play act it, and then you can say, whoa, look at him. He is so humble. And I don't have any meekness in me whatsoever. So how do I humble myself? I looked up the first mention, really, of humbling is in Exodus. And it talks about the Pharaoh. First of all, we have to see that Pharaoh's refusal to free Israel says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. Let's think about this now. This is talking about a humbling process. He says, thus saith the Lord. Okay, so we have to first think God is speaking. He says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Okay, so God has spoken. God speaks. And what does a man do who does not want to be humbled? Who is the Lord? Who is he that I should obey his voice? So you see, when we don't obey God, we have exalted ourselves above him. Wow. We exalt ourselves above him when I don't want to obey him. So he says here, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. He's right. He didn't know. He says, neither will I let Israel go. And then let's fast forward a little bit into Exodus chapter 9. He says, and yet exalteth thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? So the Pharaoh is exalting himself by what? By not obeying the voice of the God of Israel. So what is humbleness? In chapter 10, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. The hardening process began with Pharaoh. He says, who is God? Who is he? Then I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to obey his voice. He exalted himself above him. So God said, I'm going to show you who I am. He said, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son the things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And then he goes on, he says, Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh, and they said unto him, and this is the key, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, humbling ourselves is listening to God, obeying him. Rejecting him is exalting ourselves above him. That's harsh. That's harsh to hear. But that's exactly what the Word of God tells us. So all of these verses that we have read, I can do this and do this, point A, B, C, D through Z, and it means nothing to me. It just means I might have a strong will. That's all. In certain things that I do, I have a strong will. And I can will myself to do it. And it doesn't mean that I've been transformed at all in any way. I've not been reborn. And so this comes from an obedience unto God. Jesus says that in the Gospel of John. He says it with the verses that are so familiar to us. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So now we have to think about humbling ourselves. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, our Savior, was the meekest of men. And let's read what had taken place there. It says, this is speaking of Jesus, who being in the form of God, he was God himself. He says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. This is our Lord humbling himself. He took on our form. He took on the form of man entirely. He humbled himself, it says here. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And what? And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, as a man, was obedient, humbled himself, and was obedient unto the will of God. And so, dear ones, what is our humbling process? Do this? Do that? No. Obey. That's my reasonable service. That's my reasonable service. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to give grace. He's going to give grace to the humble. If you don't obey him, he's going to reject you. Why? Because you're exalting yourself above him. So now, as we think about these are our opening verses here to this chapter. As we think about this, now let's read the rest of the chapter. And now let's say, I can't do that. It's only because I want to exalt myself above God. That's it. I don't want to be obedient to his will. Jesus was able to humble himself, but not me. Can't do that. And then, but we still think, because I went through the ordinances of baptism, I am saved. No, that's not what the Bible teaches us at all. And that's not what the Apostle Paul here is instructing us to. He's instructing us here to a life that is, he says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. I say through the grace given unto me, this is God who is speaking through the blessed Apostle Paul, the one who is beseeching us, begging us, by the mercies of God, present your body as a living sacrifice, one that is holy, one that is acceptable unto God. Do not be conformed to this world. This world is anything that is in opposition to God. Anything that is in opposition to God is worldly. That means every act of disobedience by any of us is us taking on a worldly position. We cannot please God being worldly. Anything that is in opposition to God is worldly. He says, do not be conformed. The world wants to press us into its mold, to make us exactly, not only in things that it even wants to take our faith and transform it into what it deems is what is right in this generation, which changes generation to generation, and it never gets better. The world will tell us that unless a child takes its breath, it's not alive. The Bible tells us different. And it will tell us many things. It's okay for it to exalt oneself, to show oneself as better. Dear ones, what do we do in our daily life? And let's talk about our thoughts and in everything that we do, our possessions, and what is it all about? Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think soberly, soberly. Why? Because God had dealt to you your measure of faith, my measure of faith. God gave that to me. Why? How? Did he just, here it is, you are a man of faith, here it is, you are a man of faith? No. We have to look upon him. We have to see him. When we open his word, as a mirror, we see ourselves. And as a glass, we see Jesus Christ. Not one another, we see Christ. And so do we love him? Jesus says, if you do love me, you're going to obey me. He says, and I and my Father, we will come and we'll make our abode in thee. When? When you love me and obey me, I will come into you. So, the question is for us, and let's let the word define that. Not my thoughts, not my reasoning, which my reasoning is, as we read a few weeks ago, is that carnal mind is an enmity against God. I am at odds with my Creator when I want to decipher and I want to create what is right in his word. In other words, I'm going to exalt myself above the written word. And so, if Jesus says, if you obey me and love me and you keep my commandments, I will make my abode in you. I will live in you. And so when we don't obey him, what is happening? What is happening? I'm not obeying him. I'm not fulfilling these verses that I'm going to so easily, I've got the majority of them under control. The majority I've got handled. The Lord just didn't give me that measure of faith to do it all. Lies. Satan had his way with us. And so, are we saved? Is Christ living in me? Is he in me? Is he going with me when I'm fuming mad? Is he with me? As I rip into my brother, is he with me? Is he saying, good job? That's what I taught you. I'm here with you. Keep at it. No. Is he going to go with us into sin? He says here, abhor. That's a powerful word of hate. To me, I didn't even look it up, but the word abhor is, hate is so powerful and so strong, and yet abhor somehow comes out even more. But abhor that which is evil. Hate it. Cleave to that which is good. Do we cleave to that which is good? Because that which is good for the spiritual man. Not necessarily the physical man at all. So how is it, dear ones, that the apostles were able to rejoice in tribulation, rejoice in persecution? Because they humbled themselves. They overcame the flesh. The flesh is secondary. It's not the primary life that I live. No, at all. The life that I live by the grace of God and for him. And so when we are put down by someone, it means nothing to me. It can't mean anything to me. If someone puts me down and walks all over me, so what? If someone persecutes me, so what? So what? I've overcome the flesh. I'm a new man. It doesn't matter. What will I do? What does the Bible tell us to do? It says pray for them. And that's what Jesus taught us also. Bless them that persecute you. Bless. Bless. How do you bless someone? You pray for them. You do good to those who despitefully use you. You do good to them. You can't be filled with rage because God is not with you. You're not learning that from him. And so he says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. So, and then he goes on and says, rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And so how do I curse somebody? You know, well, I'm not going to throw a curse on them. Yeah, we do. So if someone, let's say, put me down, mock me, and in me is a raging hatred that they're just no good to me. They are of no use to me. Now, if something happens to them that is not good, something that is bad, and it's what they deserve. I've cursed them. That's what I do. And God tells us, don't do that. Bless them. How can I do that? How can I do these things? How can I love the one who doesn't love me? And you know what? We get into those scenarios in our own interrelationships as members on the body of Christ, as members of the same body as we are told here. Being many, we're one body in Christ, and every one a member one of another. One of another. And yet we're going to create that between one another and claim that Christ is in me. By what word do I have that assurance? Where does that assurance come from? Based on what word can I say that? I can't. based on lies, deceit of Satan, who transforms himself into an angel of light, who gives me his gospel, which is all a lie. And what does he do? We know he'll quote, change one little word, one little way, and changes everything. Just do this. He's fine with it. Just do this. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He knows what is right. He is the judge. He is the one that knows. You know, what happened to Apostle Paul and Stephen? God judged Paul. And through that judgment, he brought him to him. Stephen didn't. Stephen prayed for him. The witness. He was the witness. And the witness is the first to cast the stone. And Stephen prays for them. How did he do this? You're persecuting me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. How did it not matter? How is he able to withstand that? God gave him that measure of faith because he looked upon him. He believed, he loved, he humbled himself to obedience. He humbled himself by obedience and love for the word, for the Lord. And in that humbleness, God lifted him up. God lifted him up. Imagine, and then it tells us that God raised up Christ and had highly exalted him. That's what he does with us too. He highly exalts us also. He exalted Stephen. He showed him himself. So in those trials, he saw Jesus. What kind of a trial is there when we see Jesus? But I can only see him when I obey him. Otherwise, it's all a facade. It's all a mirage. I'm based going on my emotions. I can hear about the cross and how Christ died, and I can weep tears and blow my nose all day long, and it means nothing. I'm feeding on my own emotions, on my own senses. I'm a sensual man. I'm not saved at all, but I think I am, because look, I cried when he talked to me about the cross. I cried. Must be there's something good in me. I must be real. I must be a real Christian. But when it tells me, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with what kind of a love? Brotherly love. What is a brotherly love? One that gives self. It's a sacrificial love. One that is alive. You give yourself as a servant. Jesus says he humbled himself and became a servant. He became a servant. And you and I don't want to be servants. But we're going to say we're humble? How? How does it happen? Rejoicing in hope. See, that's how the apostles who were persecuted, that's how every believer ever since then is able to rejoice. Because we often ask ourselves, how was Peter able to sing, rejoice, that he was counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ, his Master, his Savior, his Redeemer, his Lord, his God? He rejoiced. Why? In hope. In hope. Not for this life, no. He rose above this life. He rejoiced in hope. The hope. Dear ones, what is my hope? Can I rejoice in my hope? Patient in tribulation and continuing instant in prayer. It says, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things. Dear ones, that is something that a sensual man cannot do. I cannot not mind high things if I am a sensual man. And you know, let's think about it. High things. We gravitate towards those things. Things of stature, men of stature, men that are renowned. We gravitate towards those things. And James says, no, don't call them up to take the chief places and so on. Don't be a respecter of persons. Don't mind high things. But condescend to men of low estate. Isn't that what Jesus did? Don't be wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. No man. Not, well, this one deserves my curse. He doesn't deserve my blessing. Bless them. Bless them. We bless one another, dear ones, by praying for one another. When our heart is sincere and we pray for one another, we bless one another. He says, as much as lieth in you. That means there is nothing that you have not exhausted in your efforts to be at peace with who? With some men? With most men? With all men. If someone hates you, let them hate you because they hate the truth. Don't let them hate you because you've cursed them. Don't let them hate you because you laughed at them. Let them hate you because you love the Lord as they hated the Lord himself. And he said, the Lord said, they will hate you also. If the world loves us, dear ones, we're in trouble. Because God said, you will be hated also. Those who love the truth, those who abide in the truth, those who proclaim the truth will proclaim it to one another, brothers and sisters, in this body, as we are one unit. We will speak truth one to another. If we don't speak truth, we're not in the truth. We can make the claims. We can stake the claims. We can claim the tears. We can do everything we want. It doesn't matter. If thine enemy is hungry, feed him. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him the drink. Be not overcome of evil. Overcome evil with good. This life is full of trouble. You know, man can go through great moments and everything's looking good and so on, and suddenly there's trouble that befalls him. Something happens. You lose your job. You lose your health. You lose your family. You lose. It's full of trouble. And that's what Job says. He goes, man that is born of a woman is of few days. It's just a few days. Our life is just a few days. If my day is 3 days longer than yours, so what? What does it matter? We know what matters. Have I availed myself to that measure of faith that God will give me to keep me faithful unto him? Man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Don't look for anything in this life. Don't allow yourself to be deceived to think that, oh, God doesn't look upon me favorably. He didn't give me that house. He didn't give me that car. He didn't give me that job. He didn't give me that extra where I don't have the stress of everyday life. He didn't give it to me. He must not love me. Your days are full of trouble. Period. Don't look for anything here. The blessings of God upon us, dear ones, is when he lifts us up when we've humbled ourselves. And he empowers and gives me that measure of faith that I will be, that I am transformed, that I live a new life, that I am not my own. No, I've been purchased. I've been purchased by the precious blood of the Lamb. And so, dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, as we read this word, we are without excuse. Satan will give us an excuse that I can justify to you and you to me, and you know, we can have this big old circle of justification, and it does us no good. We are without excuse who have exalted ourselves above the will of God and deemed it unnecessary to follow. We've exalted ourselves. We are not humble. It doesn't matter what you do and what I do to show my meekness and humbleness to you. In the end, when these short days are over, these short days full of trouble, when they're all over, I'm standing before God. The Pharaoh stood before God. He learned who God was. And so, dear ones, we also, every one of us, my dear friend, if you don't want to humble yourself before God, my dear brother and sister, if we don't want to humble ourselves, we will bow before him. Every knee will. Because God hath highly exalted him. Him who became a servant and took upon himself the penalty of our sin. Does that stir something within us? If I'm just ho-hum about it, if I'm just ho-hum, it means nothing. It just simply means that I'm doing what Pharaoh did. Who is God? Who is he that I should obey him? No, we don't have to. But we will bow before him one day. And so may God, dear ones, to each one of us, give unto us a measure of faith that we will be humbled. Whatever it takes for God to humble us, may he do it in his time. So that we, dear ones, would be able to face him as Stephen did, as the apostles of old, as all the blessed saints who died, took their last breath, knowing that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Amen.